This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
And let's talk about gambling. And what gambling does is it connotes risk. You know, a person that places their bets, hedging the outcomes of a series of calculated wins versus high stakes losses. And that's the thrill, isn't it? A chance to win big against the possibility of a major loss. And gambling really involves a whole range of activities. It could be anything from playing dice or cards to betting on sports teams, to playing the horses, buying a lotto ticket, going to the casino, and even doing elite trades in digital currencies. All of that stuff has elements of gambling in it. And to be fair, it's fun. And it can be innocent as an endeavor. Unless, of course, you become addicted. But nonetheless, gambling as an industry is big money and it's big revenues for a country like South Africa, because annually the gambling industry contributes something like 35 billion rands to the economy, and we're seeing an increase of 6% annually. Is that something to be worried about, or is that something that you can't really, the social costs are things you can't really attribute to the industry as a whole? We're speaking now to Lynette Kaminath, who's a manager for communications and stakeholder engagement for the National Gambling Board. Lynette, good morning.
Morning, Lerato.
Okay, so let's start off with the size of the industry. I was quite surprised by this number. 35 billion is no small feat, and it's increasing. What has led to an increase in the gambling industry? I'm not going to say gambling activities.
So 35 billion is quite a big amount, mm-hmm. But it also is then obviously a very significant contributor to our tax revenues, job creation, things like that. I think the increase in gambling revenues is based on the fact that we're seeing many trends in the industry, right? So for example, in the online betting space, you would appreciate that during the COVID pandemic lockdowns, with operators being closed or having to cut down on the numbers, the online side actually took off quite a lot, that being online betting, which is the only form of online gambling in South Africa that is legal. So I think it can be attributed to that very big increase there. At the moment, the betting industry makes up about 45% of that revenue.
The betting industry.
I would say that would be the major trend that's led to the gambling industry basically recovering post-COVID.
So please, and this is for information purposes, how do you segment the industry?
Okay, so the industry is basically made up of several modes of gambling that are legal, right? So you would have your casinos, you would have limited payout machines. Those are the machines that you find at your pubs and restaurants.
Okay.
You also have bookmakers. That's your horse racing and sports betting. The one that I've indicated is 45% of the market so far. And you also have bingo, which is available in 6 of our 9 provinces in South Africa.
And why is that?
So bingo has actually evolved. It's no longer just in your bingo halls, your traditional vision you get of someone calling out numbers.
Yeah.
You know, your old people.
Yeah,
sport.
That's what I'm thinking in my mind. Okay.
So bingo is also now available on machines as well. So you do get bingo machines, and those are obviously, need to be legally licensed, just like all the other modes. Mm. And as I said, 6 of the 9 provinces, you see bingo being played.
Okay, so what are the key trends in the industry? And what I mean by that is, you say betting or bookmaking is a segment of the industry that's growing. Why is it growing? Why does it attract people?
Well, I think it's, South Africa is a big sport-loving nation, and the betting is predominantly horse racing and sports betting. So As the sort of the fever, for example, for FIFA World Cup takes hold, you find that that is, where people are, their focus is. So I think that is also a reason why betting is growing so fast, is the popularity of sporting events, and then obviously now the opportunity to be able to place a bet on the outcome of a sporting event.
Okay.
But some of the other trends, maybe if I can mention them. We've seen that the sort of totalizator sector hasn't really grown. So that would be your tote horse racing and tote sports betting. That hasn't really grown in the last 10 years or so. And then you also have the trend where casinos are now no longer the main gambling mode in South Africa by sort of volume of revenues. And we've also seen that on the betting side specifically, there's three main provinces that are driving it currently, which is Mpumalanga, Western Cape and Limpopo, and then also KZN is also up and coming. And you're finding that there's a bit of a decline then on the Gauteng side.
Okay.
So and then as I mentioned, the biggest trend has been in terms of the online betting side, and that is just because of the convenience of being able to sit in the comfort of your home and place your bet online. I think that those were the are sort of the major trends we've seen, certainly during and post-COVID. I think most industries now are sort of measuring themselves or looking at trends in that light.
Okay, what are the regulations that govern the industry? Because you were very clear when you began and you said legal gambling.
So you would appreciate that sort of pre-democracy, gambling really didn't take place in South Africa. It was mostly in your sort of your Botswana, Transkei, those areas. Whereas then in 2004, we had the National Gambling Act coming on stream. And this sort of provides for what we call concurrent legislative competence, right? Which means that it's regulated on a national level as well as on a provincial level. And the act then also provides parameters according to which provincially you regulate. And so you would have the National Gambling Board, where I'm based, and that is your national body. You also then have your provincial licensing authorities. They are the ones that provide the licenses to operators that apply for them, and obviously there are criteria that they look at before they license. Also linked to that is you were mentioning earlier on the sort of social impact of gambling. There's also the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation. While they're not a regulator, they are a body that we work very closely with as regulators, and as well as the industry, in fact. And they provide sort of your treatment for compulsive gambling and addictive gambling. And I think it's that balance that is, it's critical. And I think, South Africa should be sort of applauded for having that sort of balance in place, where you have regulation, but you try not to also over-regulate, because as I said, there are tax revenues, there's job creation, there are some benefits to having a regulated gambling sector. But you're balancing it with, making sure that your social impact can be monitored firstly, and then secondly, also treatment can be provided.
Okay, so it's just about walking a fine line between a segment of the economy that is a revenue creator and contributes positively to the country, but also if there's too much excess in it, it tips people over to create a social problem. We'll talk about that in a second. What would constitute illegal gambling?
So illegal gambling is anything outside of the modes that I'd mentioned. So your casinos, your bingo, your betting, and your limited payout machines. So anything that also important to note is that it has to be a licensed operator. So it can't just be anybody, putting a limited payout machine in their restaurant, for example. It has to be licensed so that it can be monitored. And we have quite a strict monitoring system where even the machine itself is given a number, and we have an entire system nationally where we monitor even payouts from those machines, so
Right.
that we are ensuring that there is some form of control. I think also, the fact that it's national and provincial, which means that there are resources put towards the monitoring of compliance. So, for example, other modes of gambling, like you mentioned, dice, those are illegal, right?
Right.
And the danger with that then is that if people are participating in those, there is no mechanism to monitor. So there's very limited sort of opportunities for consumer protection, for example. And then, sorry, the one thing I must stress as well is that the law makes it illegal for anyone under the age of 18 to
Okay.
gamble.
All right, we're in conversation with Lynette Cumminath, who's a manager for communications and stakeholder engagement at the National Gambling Board. We're talking about a segment or a sector of the economy that we seldom refer to, and yet it's a big money spinner, excuse the pun, at 35 billion rands in annual gross revenues, and a sector of the economy that is growing, heavily regulated. But also, outside of those compliance issues, you just want people to have a bit of fun. But when is fun a little bit too much fun is the question we're asking Lynette Cumminath in a moment.
Thought-provoking conversations with Lerato Mbele, 9 a.m. to midday.
Is that the sound when you're playing or the sound when you're winning? We're in conversation with Lynette Cumminath, who is the manager for communications and stakeholder engagement at the National Gambling Board. And we're talking about a segment of, or the section of the economy that is seldom spoken about. And yet nearly $3 billion comes into the economy because of gambling activities, but legal gambling activities, which Lynette described as casinos, sports betting and bookmaking, bingo, and also limited payment machines that you find in pubs. So here's the question, Lynette. Two people have asked me to ask you this. I don't know if you're aware of a game called Mochina or Fafi. This is where people say, I had a dream last night and it's conjuring up all these numbers, I dreamt of an apple and the number for an apple is 3 or whatever the case may be. And then they go and bet on this thing. Is that legal or illegal?
Yes, so we are aware of those. It falls in your it falls in your illegal category. I know, it has been around in South Africa for a long time. I mean, even as a child, I remember people dreaming up numbers for Fafi. But it's one of the illegal forms.
Yeah. Okay. So it's illegal. That's unequivocal. Another question, say. The streets, which basically is just kind of rumors, say the house has 75 to 52 odds of winning. I think this has to do with politics. So it doesn't make sense playing slots and other electronic machines. Politics is essentially a casino. I have a Betway app on my phone and it's hurting me, says this guy. So what is this intersection of technology with gambling? Because it's easier now for people to do it online.
It is, and it is something that we are, as a regulator and the industry, looking at. As technology changes, I think there's always going to be, having to adapt and adopt to it. And the lines currently are a little bit blurred in South Africa, where it's your online placing of bets that is that is legal. And anything outside of that is not legal. So we always are saying we get a lot of questions on our social media and through our information email address asking, is this a legal online betting place? Mm-hmm. And I think what we always advise is anybody who is a legal gambling operator in South Africa needs to be licensed. In other words, they would have a license number. all of the your sort of brick and mortar places would have their licensing on their at their building, but then also online, they have to have a their license number and also indicate which sort of provincial licensing authority has licensed them. So I think it's always important to make sure that you are gambling at a legally licensed place, whether it is physical gambling at a building or online. That's the most important thing. If it's for example, an operator that is based overseas and they're not licensed in South Africa, you can still access them. There's nothing prohibiting that, and those are some of the things that we look at is if for example gambling online is legalized, how do we then monitor things like addiction to gambling? As I was indicating, the lines are very blurred, but there are lots of things that we need to take into account before we can just jump in and legalize all of it. Underage gamblers is one sort of example. How do you ensure that you're not having someone under 18 that's gambling? As I indicated, detecting of sort of a gambling problem. And then you also have things that any sort of monetary transactions online will always bring things, dangers such as money laundering, tax avoidance. And even in cases where people are then playing online, how safe are they from hacking and things like that? So it is a quite a complicated topic at the moment, yes.
So let's talk about some of those social repercussions, consequences, moral issues, right? Morality seems to be a big theme in South Africa at the moment. So you've mentioned that compliance is important because all of these segments of the gambling industry are straddling a very fine line between gambling, having fun, earning some money, and people becoming addicted and tipping over and creating a real problem. 1 in 10 people in South Africa is said to be involved or participate in some kind of gambling activity. And I understand that you've said you work on numbers that you, the data maps that you can create. So there's probably a lot of stuff happening under the radar, which we don't know about. But, the consequences are dire because you hear of people who earn a social grant. And one of the first things that they will do is go and bet on the lotto or the horses. A lot of people who are elderly, it looks like they're doing it for fun, and then they get caught up. And then we know of the illegal gambling, the dice and the cards and the stuff that's happening on the streets and underground. And people being desperate for money and quick cash, especially in an economy that's underperforming like this, probably means that we're likely to see more and more people falling into traps that exist in the gambling sector.
Right. So you touch on a number of really important things. And we've actually, in 2017, we did a household survey, and we found that of the people surveyed, 42% of them were unemployed and participating in gambling, for example. 48% of them were considered youth, so under the age, so between the ages of 18 and 35, and quite a big a number of them, 60%, were actually participating in illegal forms of gambling. So the consequences are quite far-reaching. If you take, for example, someone who's unemployed who really cannot afford to take that money and gamble with it. And it is a gamble. I think the word itself says it all, is that it's something that you're taking a chance on. And we always indicate that gambling has been legalized in South Africa as a leisure and entertainment opportunity. It is not something where you need to be, as soon as you're invested in winning money, it can spin out of control and become a problem. You shouldn't see gambling as a source of income, in other words. That is sort of the first important thing. Gamble for leisure and entertainment only. And then I just quickly wanted to also mention, that things like money can be the root of a gambling problem, but there are also other consequences that people don't often take note of, and that's things like the creation of anxiety, for example, once you've lost money that you couldn't afford to lose. So we actually also see that you have cases of suicide that are linked to a gambling addiction. So it can be more than just sort of a financial problem you're creating for yourself. You also put pressure on your sort of relationships, your family, your peer group relationships as well. And we often also see a link between substance abuse and gambling addiction. So I think this is also the reason why, as a regulator or the regulating industry and the actual operators of gambling places, they came together and sort of are contributing towards the gambling's Responsible Gambling Foundation. And it's that awareness as well that, you know, it's there for leisure, it's there for fun, but it can spin out of control. And it comes down to the individual, as with most things in life, and your own sort of motivations, your own ability to control yourself, you know. So, and often that, as I said, is an individual's issue. It's not necessarily the gambling operator or the gambling industry's fault as such, you know.
Okay, there's a lot there, you know, and I think it's just one of those issues, right, where it's either you believe in your own innate ability to restrain yourself and have fun whilst gambling, or you worry about the social consequences. I don't think this is one where you outright win an issue. There are many grey areas here, and one of those is, despite all the challenges, it contributes 35 billion rands to the economy, a much needed 35 billion rands. And as you said, many other opportunities along the value chain. Thanks for your time, Lynette Kaminath, Manager for Communications and Stakeholder Engagement for the National Gambling Board.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.